Tonight, open with us to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 8. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 8. And we appreciate, again, you being here. Appreciate the Lord's mercy and the Lord's grace. The last book of the Bible, the Revelation, chapter number 8, if you will. And we'll be turning there and studying there just in a moment. And again, we're grateful for every way the Lord is helping us and every way the Lord is, all the things the Lord is doing. Let me just kind of give a bit of a disclaimer. In the event that you try to get in touch with me and I don't answer for the next 3 weeks during the daytime, we have very spotty service at Camp Buck. It's just here, yonder, and about. And what'll happen is you'll walk around the building and get 14 texts, you know, when you walk around the building, because there's no text on the one side of the building, there is on the other. And so the same thing with, you'll get all these missed calls. When you get in a certain position, you'll get all these missed calls. So we have to position ourselves. So I don't have full communication, but here's the key. Usually the team, one of us, will be somewhere in the coverage area, okay? And so, especially up on the roof, they probably get better coverage up there, but I don't want them answering cell phones up there, hanging on with a cell phone one hand and a hammer with the other. And so while we may not get, if you need me for something important, if you'll text the group, then I'll call here and have them to text the group, then somebody should get the message, okay? And we're 55 minutes from there to here, 30 miles and 55 minutes. And that's if you go through Burlingame. If you go the long way, it's 35 miles and 60 minutes from here to there. You believe that you can drive and stay within the county and drive an hour and still be in the county. And that's coming on pretty good too. So, all right. If you want to stand just for a moment with me, I want you to actually, I've got your finger in chapter number 8, but I want you to flip over to the end of chapter number 9. I don't reckon I've ever done this before. I want to give you my last thought first. I want to give you the punchline, okay? I'm going to give you the punchline, and we're going to go back and build on it. All right, I'm interested in what the Bible says over in chapter number 9, verse number 20 and verse number 21. Okay, and I want you to, that my emphasis is the depravity and the lostness of the group that are rejecting God's warning signs in Revelation 8 and Revelation 9. The Bible says, and the rest of the men, verse 20, which were not killed by these plagues, yet, look at the phrase, yet repented not of the works of their hands. So these survivors, they would not repent of their wicked works, but they also would not repent of wicked worship. The Bible says that they should not worship devils. Devils. So who are they worshiping? Devils. Well, there's over a million deities in the Hindu religion. Over a million. And all of them have, according to the subscribers of those different gods, all of them say that they have power to do things. They've seen them do things. So who are they worshiping? Literally, it is a time of demon worship. They may not call them that. They call them angels. They call them whatever, these little g gods. You know, we're having a fit trying to build a church in front of the monkey god church, in front of the monkey god. They've got a monkey god. It's not a church. It's a shrine there where they worship the monkey god. And they shut us down trying to build a church in front of that thing. And so we've had a fit with them. Well, who's over the monkey god? Well, Scripture says devils, worshiping demons. Who are they worshiping? They're worshiping demons, the Bible says, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. In India, it's so bad that they have little trucks that have flip-up sides on them, and they'll bring it around. They'll flip the sides up, flip the back up, and there's all these little shrines all the way around this truck. And people in the market, they'll come by there, and each one of them, they'll leave a little something at each one of those gods. And when you're in Hinduism, you encourage your children not to worship the same God that you do. You want them to get a different God, so you can kind of family cover all the bases. The scripture says, which neither see nor hear nor walk. And then the scripture says they would not repent of their wicked works. They would not repent of their wicked worship, but they also would not repent of their wicked ways. Verse 21, I want you to see the audience. Okay? This is who's left on planet Earth. The slaughterers. Neither repented they of their murders. Premeditated slaughter, that's a murderer. Murderers. Who's in the lot? Murderers. The scripture says, nor of their sorceries. So, they're poison sorceries. But let me give you a little bit of an insight in that. And I didn't look it up to see this particular word, but other places in the book of the Revelation, the word sorceries comes from the root word that we get our word pharmacy from. Pharmacia. And it's the root word for pharmacy. Drugs have a big part. Now, you listen to me? Drugs play a big part in the tribulation. A huge part. And they're mentioned in this. And they're ranked right up there with murderers. Number two is drugs. Nor of their sorcery. The third thing, nor of their fornication. So we've seen premeditated slaughter. We've seen poisonous sorceries. Now it brings in perverted sex. Fornication can mean two different things. It can be, it depends on the context, it can mean just sex outside of marriage. But it also, the word fornication, takes in all illegal, unlawful, forbidden things. So it can include all the homosexualities, bestiality, all of those things can be included in that one word. That can be, and in this it is. Okay? So we're definitely talking about the breakdown of the family unit. We're definitely talking, we're not talking about God-fearing people, okay, at this point. We're not talking about, and I'll come back to that. We're talking about a very, very perverted group that's left. And then it says, nor of their thefts. So three things that he gives us who this group is made up of. Those that commit slaughter, those that commit sorceries, those that have unlawful sex, and those that steal. And those three things make up who we're talking about. But look what it said back up in verse number 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. Of the works of their hands. Let's bow our heads. Father, help us now as we rightly divide the word of truth. And Lord, you help us in this hour. Prevent me from saying anything contrary to the mind and will of God. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Thank you. Please be seated. If you go up here to the rock quarry, it's a very interesting place. I've actually been up there for a blast years ago. Photographed it, put it on the front of Brother Don. What's Don's name? Farmer's book, God's Dynamite. I think we still have a copy of it. That shot was taken from the top of the rock quarry. We went up there with the owner. It's pretty amazing. We've been here by the rock quarry all these years. We're used to the dynamite, used to the blasting. I'm very familiar with it. Friends with the folks that work there for a very long time. But one of the things you'll find out about the rock quarry is they go through a process. We talked about this morning, sorting. They go through a sorting process. And so what happens is they crush everything, and then it starts running across these grates. And so the fines are the first thing that fall out. So your fines fall out, the little stuff. And it'll go a little further, and it'll take and it'll shake out, and it'll be a little bigger stuff. So that at that point, they make a manufactured sand. And then they make, what is it called? I believe it's 78s, which is a small, almost like a, like you'd tar and gravel a parking lot with, I believe it's what it's called, that little stuff, little bitty stuff, 3/8. So that'll be your next one that comes out, and then they'll sift it a little finer. Then it'll go up to 3/4, and that 3/4 is going to do two ways. The 3/4 is going to fall out. Some of it's not going to be shaken out. They're going to leave the dust, the little stuff in with it. The other, they're going to wash it, and it's going to come out clean. Then it's going to go up to oversized. And then it's going to go up to the next size and the next size. But when it's done, there's not anything left because that crusher has crushed everything down. And so everything has its category. Well, let me see if I can explain to you what's happened at this point. God has started the judgments upon the earth. Future tense, we're in heaven by the grace of God. We saw that last week. We're in heaven by this time. And also, a number which no man can number are there. Now, where are they, preacher? Where do they come from? They come out of this mess. And those are the tribulation saints. And as these things began to fall upon the earth, they realized that this is the judgment hand of God. And they responded. Now, it cost them. It cost them dearly. It cost them their lives. But they got saved by the grace of God. Now, costing their lives ain't what saved them. They got saved, but the fact that you get saved in the tribulation, it will cost you your life. But they got saved nevertheless. I stand amazed at how in great persecution the gospel seems to catch on fire. And so it was, in Pakistan, 100 people standing publicly professing Christ is just about unheard of. But it happened. It really happened. How many meetings you been in lately, 100 people standing profess Christ? And nobody persecuting anybody. And so it seems that the persecution turns up the fire. It's amazing. And so people are being saved and people are being sifted and people are getting right with God. God's protecting the Jew. He sealed them. He's protecting the Jew. These Gentiles, they're coming to God in numbers that no man can number. There's a multitude that's coming to God. But as this thing shakes out, what's left is the bottom of the barrel. You understand what I'm saying? Now we're down to the bottom of the barrel. We've got the dross. All the gold's been removed. All the silver's been removed. We're down to the dross. And somebody said, y'all not talk like that about them, preacher. I didn't talk about them. The scripture did. They didn't repent. They refused to repent. After everything that's happened, they refuse to repent. Why wouldn't they repent, preacher? Because they don't believe there's a God. So therefore, they don't believe there's a judgment of God. So therefore, they don't believe there's a heaven and they don't believe there's a hell. So they believe it's all naturally occurring and it's all man-made and it's all our fault that we did it. There are some environmental catastrophes that are going to take place in these two chapters. I always preach line upon line, but I won't tonight. There's too much to cover, and I want to go through this at a pretty quick clip. But I want to I'll slow down in places, but I want to share with you really two messages in one tonight. Revelation chapter number 8, look in verse number 1. There is sovereign authority here as this seventh seal is opened. And the Bible says there was silence in heaven about the space of an hour. If you go back and study that and look at that, it looks like that it was the prayers of God's saints that stayed the hand of God for a short time. That's what it looks like. And I won't go to seed on that, but it looks like that. And then we have the introduction of a special angel in verse number 2. And we know that the scripture says, verse 2, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." Now we've been talking about seals and vials. Now trumpets, seven trumpets. "And the seven angels that had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." So we see these seven angels. Look what the Bible says. And by the way, I skipped on you. Seven trumpets. Look, and I didn't even tell you. Look in chapter verse number 2. "I saw the seven angels who stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." Now look in verse number 6. "And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." I skipped track without telling you that I did. So we see the seven angels. Now in verse 3, we're introduced to a smoking altar. The Bible says, "And the other angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer." This is a solitary angel. And there was given unto him much incense, but that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the scripture says about this solitary angel, there is this smoking altar, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. You say, "Oh, preacher, praying don't do nothing, no good." I don't hardly understand all I know about this, but it will stay the hand of God. It did here. It seems to have steeled the whole situation. It seemed to have gotten so bad that the prayers of God's saints, God took a little short time out there. I don't know how long half an hour in heaven is, but because they're in the middle of eternity, but there is a space there, if you'll see it. I just say it this way. If our prayers are like the incense which comes up in the nostrils of God, how much more praying are we ought to do? I'm sure we're deficient in this. You know what I found out recently? I found out when I feel guilty when God gives me something that I didn't pray for. I thought about it, but I never asked for it. And God will give it to me and I'll get under conviction because he gives it to me knowing what I need, but I failed to ask for it. So I'm not able to pray, Lord, thank you for answering my prayer. I have to pray, Lord, thank you for doing something that I did. What, I was too low down, sorry, and good for nothing to even pray for. That I was negligent in even trying to pray for. The Bible says the angel took, verse 5, took the censer and filled it with fire off the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes. We'll see that multiple times, those group of things, those phrases. And so there is thus far this sovereign authority. There's this special angel. And then we're going to see the sequential actions that's going to fall. Verse number 7, there's a judgment of burning. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. Does this bring any remembrance back to you of Egypt? Remember what happened in Egypt? Let me ask you a question. Do you feel sorry for the Egyptians? Did you ever feel sorry for the Egyptians? Charleston Heston, he's pretty rough on them, you know. You know what I'm talking about. You know who Charleston Heston is? Charleston Heston's the guy that played Moses in the famous movie The Ten Commandments. And he went on to be the president of the National Rifle Association. They're probably more famous for that than he was being Moses. But he was a strong conservative. He sure was. But I never will forget in that movie. We watched it as kids. I remember when it came out. I remember watching it as a little kid. I guess it was going to come out. I think it came out in the 30s. But anyway, that night the death angel came in. There was this green fog, and it come up the street. People started screaming as that thing come by their house. Boy, as a young'un, now, son, you talk about something get you steel. When people went to squalling, and kids went to crying, and son, that'd get you quiet. I remember that. Oh, yeah. We used to watch it on Easter. That thing used to come on the network every Easter night? They run it for years. I don't think they do it anymore, but they did for years. They'd run the Ten Commandments on Easter night. I remember that, and we'd watch it. I used to have a Brother Munez. He used to stay home and watch it on Easter night. He said, "Now, preacher, I'd not be here tonight." He said, "I got to stay home and watch the Ten Commandments." I do it every year. So I got to stay home and watch the Ten Commandments. He was Puerto Rican. He talked real fast, and he would talk real choppy, and he didn't have real good English, but he was going to stay home and watch the Ten Commandments. And, boy, he is faithful all the other days, though, buddy. But I need to look for him on Sunday night because he stayed home and watched Ten Commandments, watched Charles Nesson part that Red Sea. He was interested in that. Seen it 100 times. He had to watch him part that Red Sea. There's a judgment of burning. The first angel sounded, followed hail and fire and mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up and all the grass was burned up. Now think about what just happened. Do you realize that right now, as it stands right now, that we count on oxygen that is produced from Canada to get enough air for the Americans to breathe? Did you know that? They claim that we only produce about 60% of the oxygen that we need in the continental United States. That we've cut so many forests down, we've deforested it to the point that there's not enough oxygen, and so we're borrowing oxygen from up there. Of course, there ain't enough people up there that counts, and so we're still good, but it crosses. But if they ever go to taxing us on oxygen, we'll have to pay import tax because it comes from Canada. 40% of what we breathe comes out of Canada, so we'll have to tax us on breathing. And don't say it too loud because they'll get an idea, all right? And so, that's just the way, you know. Here's the point that you talk about an environmental catastrophe, that of burning. A third of the trees are on fire. And all the grass was burned up. Now, it's going to come back, but it's going to burn all the grass. And if my understanding's right, anything green takes in carbon dioxide that we exhale, and then it emits oxygen that we inhale. And so plants and people are interdependent. They depend on us for the dioxide. We depend on them for the oxygen. And so there is this catastrophic judgment of burning. But there's also a judgment by blood. Look in verse number 8. And the second angel sounded, and it was, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. A great mountain. I wished I'd taken time to research it. I don't know the name of it. But there is somewhere, I've read about it, a volcano. It's dormant. But they claim that if that thing goes off, that it could change the whole ecosphere of the earth. Grandma Lila Owen told us about a time when she was little. She called it the year without a summer. And now, you got to understand, Grandma Lila was born at the end of the Civil War. And so her daddy come home and she was born 9 months later. And so she was born right at the end of the Civil War. So she was an old, old lady. She was way up there in her 90s when I knew her in the early 60s. So she was a very old woman. She said there was a time, this is what she said. She said, I've seen it snow in Toxaway all 12 months. She said it frosted on the 4th of July and killed everything we had. She said it blowed snow that same 4th of July. And she said we didn't make nothing. And she said it was so cold. And here's the thing. She had no reason to make that stuff up. Somebody said, well, there's no, you know, that's not written history. Well, here's the thing, though. It's collaborated. Doris's grandmother's mama used to tell her, they called her Big Mama. She told about the time a winter that it was so bad, the snow was so deep, that the panthers got up on top of the cabin. They climbed the snow and got up on top of the cabin, and they were afraid they would come down the chimney. And they were afraid to go outside to get firewood, afraid the panthers would get them. And they would break up stuff in the house to keep the fire burning, afraid the panthers would come. They could hear the panthers squalling. And there were accounts of men on horseback being attacked by panthers. Why? Because they're starving to death. Everything was starving to death. All of these things coincide. My grandpa talked about it. He talked about his dad. Imagine this. His dad drove a team of oxen across the French Broad River at the forks of the river. The river froze solid enough that they used the French Broad River as a highway. And they would drive the wagons up and down the French Broad River. Now, you and I haven't seen that in our lifetimes. I've seen it mush almost closed. I've seen it. I've seen it pack ice up at Asheville, there at the Speedway. I've seen all that pack up. And I've seen, so, but it wasn't solid froze, but I've seen it pack ice as it packed up. But I have seen it out on Barkley Road. I've seen a patch about that wide, about a foot wide, still flowing. And it was mush. But I've never seen it where you could get out on it. But I certainly never seen it where you get out on it with a team of oxen and a wagon and a load. I've never seen that. You hadn't either. Not in our lifetime. But the old timers talked about it, that they did. There was a year that there was a volcano went off. It cooled the atmosphere, and we had one of the worst winters here in the mountains, and the pioneers almost starved to death. I guess many did. It was that bad. And I looked it up one time, and sure enough, Grandma Lila would have been little. And it really happened. It did happen. Didn't affect everybody bad as it did us here in the mountains, but this elevation, it affected people here because you got to remember how many people where they were living. All my people were up in the forest. They were up at 3,000 feet, 3,500. They were up at Lake Toxaway, 3,000, 4,000 feet. That's where they lived. That's where many, like people don't understand that Pink Beds was a thriving community. People don't understand that the people lived all up in Gloucester Gap and a whole section. It's now National Forest, but those were communities. But they were very high in the mountains. And so, hey, I've seen it. We had a tent meeting in July one year, and it got so cold in Balsam Grove, I thought I was freezing to death in July. Son, that sun go behind them mountains, now you talk about dropping. It's not unusual for them to have 10 degrees differential between here and Perry. We compare temperatures all the time. We'll lose 10 degrees here from the valley to pup and Perry. That is not uncommon. But I can tell you the same thing's true up to Sunny's. It's about 7 to 8. And I've seen it more than that. Top of Jeter, I've seen at least 10 degrees between here and top of Jeter. It'll be snowing on top of Jeter, and it'll be raining down here. And so can it happen? Sure it can. And so these higher elevation communities, they had snow. They had frost year-round. And so a great mountain. I don't know if that's what this is or not, but burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. If I could take you to a little island called St. Lucia. St. Lucia is where all the Sandals resorts are. St. Lucia is a beautiful, beautiful place. It's one up from where we've been working at St. Vincent. But if you will drive over toward the Pitons, as you're going over that, it's almost like going around a parkway, going on this big, steep hill. But when you go over, you start smelling something. Stinks. You can take a side road and go back in there. There's an active volcano just back in there. And it's low. It's a crater. And there is a creek in there that comes out of there. And that thing runs blood red. You ought to see it. And it's the minerals out of that volcano. And it's that creek is just as red as it can be. I couldn't believe it. But you can go in there and you can actually walk out in among there. But you can smell that brimstone. You can smell that sulfur. You can't hardly stand it. And there's trails. You can go out around there. We went in there to see it. But I wasn't impressed. And I thought, yeah, what if that thing blows up and us in here on it? I don't want to die like Abner died. Die like a fool. Being here trying to, here I am, you know, I'm trying to get people out of hell. And sure enough, I die in the midst of this thing. I've been dropped off into hell. I mean, it's terrible. And that stuff just a boiling everywhere, and got people out there holding their mouth, walking around. I don't know. But the Bible says the sea became blood. Third part of the creatures, which are in the sea, that had life, died. So look what's happened. The third of the sea's content, a third of the sea's creatures, and then the Bible says a third part of the ships were destroyed. Can you imagine a third part of the ships of commerce? What happens if, with all the problems we have now, what if you had lost one third of the merchant ships? Now what you going to do? That's what it says. Whatever happens, it's going to destroy them. So what's it going to destroy them, preacher? Well, there's a particular volcano. They claim if that thing goes off and falls into the sea, that there would be a tidal wave that would go around the world. They're talking about that even now, that could happen. I can't think of the name of it. What's the name of it? You might know. Krakatoa, that's the one I was, is that it? I think that's the one, study that. Look at verse number 10. There is this judgment of burning, there's this judgment of blood, there's this judgment of bitterness. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. Many would believe that this would be a meteorite that would land upon the earth and would have great consequences. And it would be a bitter star. And they name it, verse 11, the name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood. And many died because of the waters, because they were made bitter. Can you imagine that a third part of the water on planet Earth is suddenly not drinkable? It's poison because of this celestial object that comes in, that falls from heaven, this bitter star, as the scripture calls it, that falls down. You remember what I said about environmental impact? But so far, everything that's happened, they're going to have a reason for it. The reason everything caught fire is because of global warming. The reason this other stuff's happened because of, it's just, there's no God. There's no God in heaven judging us. Why, this is just natural occurring stuff. And this is just a big meteorite coming at us. And yeah, we told you all along this is going to happen. I was reading that about that in the Weekly Reader when I was just about that high, you know. And so they've been telling us that. But then there's a judgment of blackness. The fourth angel sounded, third part of the sun was smitten, third part of the moon, third part of the stars. So the third part of them was darkened, and the sun, they shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. I don't know. I don't know. But they tell us that right now we're in a time of relative calm, but what they call mass ejections from the sun. I mean, it is an active hydrogen explosion. That's what the sun is. That's what we look at every day when we look up. We're looking at a hydrogen explosion. and that hydrogen's being converted, and it's erupting. It is a nuclear reactor, if I can put it that way. That star that we look at is a nuclear reactor. That's what we're watching. And we're not for our atmosphere that filters it. All life on Earth would die because of the radiation. So do you see that we're sitting here in this little bubble? You can't go walk on the moon. It ain't got no atmosphere to protect you. The solar radiation will kill you. But you can walk here without anything, can't you? So that whole equation, this whole thing of the light, the moon, the stars, all that's going to be out of balance. They're there today because God keeps them there. But when the angel sounds, and when this trump sounds, and when this angel changes things, the sun won't come up like it does right now. You imagine that? Nor will the moon come out like it does right now. Nor will you be able to see the stars like you do right now. So how do you explain that, preacher? I can't. But if God said it, I believe it. And then there's this announcement, verse 13, and I heard, behold, I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. And that's the introduction to chapter number 9. Remember those three woes. Woe, woe, woe. He wasn't saying that just to be repetitive. There are three main woes that are found in chapter number 9. So we're gonna move and we're going to flip there. The Bible says, and the fifth angel sounded. Now some things, so far there have been, can I say it this way? Natural phenomenon brought about by supernatural. Can I say it that way? You understand what I'm saying? There have been supernatural intervention that caused natural phenomenon. A star falling from heaven. Trees catching on fire. Water turning to blood. These are all naturally occurring phenomenon. That's chapter number 8 with supernatural cause. Now suddenly we're going to change chapters and all of a sudden it turns different. It takes, you say, it can't get no worse than that, preacher. Oh, yes, it does. Because now we introduce supernatural things that are happening with supernatural backing. Look what the Bible says. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him, look at that phrase, was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as a smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So we're getting ready to see these demons that are unloosed upon the earth. Now, what's the purpose of all this? I don't know at what point, but apparently people are getting saved. It's costing them everything. But there's a number that no man can number. I don't know when it starts and when it stops, but there's a number that no man can number. But there's a residue. Remember what the last chapter said? The last verse of the last chapter? And they repented not. Remember that in mind, and they repented not. Bear that in mind, they repented not. Can I say, when it shakes down, you've got that element that they're just stubborn and they're just cold and they're just heathen, and that's just what they are. But then there's an element that they actually believe that the devil will rule and reign. And they're planning on it. They're counting on it. They've staked their lives on it. And what's funny is they're right to a degree. You see, the world's under martial law. The Holy Spirit's been taken out as far as his abiding position in the believer. And so the devil, and by the way, just so you understand, the devil's releasing everything he's got. And so now he unleashes these supernatural beings. And these, there's the door that's open, unsealing of the door, but then there's the unleashing of the demons. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and upon them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass, neither any green thing. So apparently the grass has come back, and we know that only a third of the trees were gone, neither either tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Now who are they going to sting? That unsealed bunch. Who are the seal bunch? That's the Jews. Well, who's the other bunch? That's people that would not repent. That's who they're going after. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And the torment was the torment of a scorpion that when he striketh a man. I don't know what they feel like, but they tell me it's almost being like being snake bit. Getting stung by a scorpion, very, very painful. Way worse than a bee sting. Way worse. And the Bible says that it'll be like that. And the strike of the man, in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. I've had several people comment on that. I've wondered, does man come up with something? Does man come up with the fountain of youth? Do we? Did we come up with something to keep us from dying? I mean, really, does technology do that? But then let's flip her on the other side. We think that death's a naturally occurring thing. We think that death is the absence of life. But the fact of the matter is, God controls life, but God also controls death. And if God just reaches over and flips the switch on death, guess what? Ain't nobody dying. You can shoot yourself. You can do whatever you want to. You ain't dying. You ain't dying till God says you're going to die. That stands right now, there's natural things that occur. We know some things you can do to your body. You can't live. But what if God says, you ain't getting out that easy. And God turns death off. He could. And then people have to live with what they've done to themselves because they can't die. The scripture says, and desire to die. And so there is the unleashing of these demons. And then there's the understanding of these demons. The Bible says the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads sat as a crown of gold, and their faces were like the faces of men, and they had hair as a hair of a woman, and their teeth was the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, and as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was sound of the chariots of many running horses to battle, and they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. I read a book that said these were Cobra helicopters. That's what this was. Well, reckon how they got that factory down in the abyss. Reckon how they've been building them helicopters down there in the abyss, because the Bible says they come out of the abyss. Well, you think they are, preacher. I think they're scorpions that look like horses. It's got crowns on their heads, got breastplates on them, and they sting like a scorpion. I believe that's what they are. I just believe that's what they are. I just believe what it says. And by the way, if it says like unto, you know what that means? It means it's similar to. Doesn't mean that's what it is. It means it's similar to. But if it says it is, then that's what it is. Somebody said, well, I just can't believe that. Well, believe it. It's a whole lot easier to believe it than it is to try to surmise and explain it away. That's what all the intellectuals do in this day. In this day of enlightenment, we've learned better. And we understand that the Bible is primarily, it's an allegory. And so therefore, you have to read it allegorically. Really. Really? That's not exactly the way it works, friend. There's some things that God said that he meant. Amen? Look at verse number 11. Here's the unveiling of the devil. And they had a king over them. And he wasn't king over helicopters, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. And the Bible says, one woe is past, and behold, there come two foes hereafter. So we've seen, at the beginning of this, we've seen locusts from the depths of hell. But now, I want you to see the loosing of these deadly horsemen. This is going to take place. And the sixth angel sounds. And so there we're going to see four angels here at this sixth trumpet. And so the sounding of the sixth angel. And then the Bible says, and I heard a voice from the four horns of a golden altar, which is before God. So let me see. It's everything's out of control. Everything's going crazy. It's all, the whole world's just, it's just madhouse. And in the midst of all that, God speaks. Can I let you know that God's very much in control of everything that's going on? The devil's on a short leash. If it wasn't for that, no flesh would survive. That's what Scripture says. If it wasn't for that, no flesh would survive. Ben Carper preached that when he was here in Charlottesville. In other words, God's got the devil on a leash. He does have some room to run, but he's on a leash. Saying to the sixth angel, verse 14, which had a trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And with this, my friend, with this sixth angel, this voice from this sovereign altar, God says, loose them. It's time. Loose them. Loose the hounds. And the four angels are loose, which are prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. It's already happened, but it's going to happen again. The world's worried about overcrowding. Don't worry. Don't worry. When we get through with this, there ain't going to be many. Somebody asked me, what about all the billions of people? What's going to happen? Well, there won't be billions when we get done with this thing, when the wrath of God is complete. These four angels at the sixth trumpet. Look at this fierce army that comes up at the sixth trumpet. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. He says, so there's a great number of this army, but there's also, notice, the godless nature of this number. And I saw the horses in the vision, them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. There's the fierce army at the sixth trumpet, but there's also the future agony of the sixth trumpet. What's all the purpose of this, preacher? That men will repent. This is judgment to get men to repent. And apparently people are getting saved during this process. We think they are. By these three was the third part of men killed. The scope of this deadly judgment. But then, by the fires, by the smoke, by the brimstone which issued out of the mouth, that's the strength of this deadly judgment. Look at the source of this deadly judgment, verse 19. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. So we have seen in chapter number 9, basically three main divisions. We have seen, first of all, John saw the locusts coming up from the depths of hell in the first 12 verses. And then John advances in verse 13, and John saw the loosing of the deadly horsemen. And all these things are judgments. Now, you might explain away a fire. You might explain away a meteorite. But how do you explain away these demonic soldiers, these demonic beings? How are you going to explain that away? Well, we're coming to the place to where men so hard at this point, they don't care. And the Scripture says about this whole affair, look what, I bring you back to where I started. Look at the lostness of these depraved heathen. This is what John, I started with, this is what John ends with. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Now let's see what I can explain to you. The crowd that's left, this is a crowd that's been, they've been looking forward to getting rid of the Christians. They've been looking forward to the devil having his reign. They've been looking forward to a big party on earth. That's what they've been wanting this whole time. And look how the devil treats them. That's commonplace. Understand that joke's on them. You see, even though they were faithful to him, he hates them. Even though they may have worshipped him, he hates them. He hates them. He hates mankind. And for that reason, he'll turn on them. He'll deceive them. He'll turn on them. And those that have held out for the God of this world to come, understand that they're going to be sadly disappointed. And the scripture says, neither repented they of their murderers, nor of their sorceries, nor their fornications, nor of their thefts. But in the midst of it all, the big shaker of God's shaken. And I don't know at what point people stop repenting. I don't know at what point people stop turning. But know this, there's a remnant. Bible says there is. They will have been through the fire. And if you'll study that thing, they're sheep nations, Gentile nations, and goat nations. And there's going to be the judgment of the nations. But there is going to be a refined, if I can say it that way, a refined group of human beings that will make it through this thing, and they will be like Noah and his sons, the ones that repopulate the planet. And when God fixes it, oh, is it going to be fixed? Everything that just took place is because of the sin of mankind. Didn't have to be that way, but because of the sin of mankind, it all took place. And today I think about all of the world's efforts to combat carbon emissions, all the world's efforts to stop the deterioration of the ozone. And, you know, I got thinking the other day, they told us a few years ago that we was eating a hole in the ozone layer. And we was eating a hole in it. And we had to quit it. We had to quit using good refrigerant that makes your car run cool, you know, and gets good cold air conditioning. You had to quit using that and run that old expensive stuff that don't cool near as well. That's what they told us. Now, what's funny is you can go across the border in Mexico and still buy it for a dollar a can. It's a $10,000 fine if they catch you bringing it across the border, but you can still buy it for a dollar a can. They're still using it down there, and all third world countries, they're using it like crazy. I got thinking the other day, it's global warming. Why don't we all get us a can of Freon and open it and make that hole in the atmosphere a little bigger and let all this hot air out and fix this global warming thing? Is that not an environmentally sound solution? Is that not work? I'm just saying. By the way, did you know this? Did you know that 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, the coldest ever recorded on the planet, the South Pole, the coldest temperature that's ever been recorded on planet Earth was recorded 3 weeks ago. It happened. You didn't hear much about it, but it happened. Look it up. Yeah, they let out Freon down there. They got cold. So they didn't have to ban it down there. I don't know. Do I think that, is the environment changing? Obviously it is. But I'll say this. I don't believe that man's had as much impact as we give ourselves credit for. Okay? I don't think it is. How do you know? Because there are still records set way back. If you go every day, I look at the records when the records were. And the records are not all new. Every 365 days on the calendar, our record high was not today. We did break some records, but we've been breaking records every year way back. And if you'll look at the records, they're cyclic. In other words, we'll get through a warm phase, we'll go through a cool phase. We'll go through a warm phase, we'll go through a cool phase. It's like your refrigerator defrost. I think God fixed it that way. God planned it that way. I think it's part of the normal plan. But I will say this. Given how everything else is, don't be surprised if it locks down, has the coldest winter we've had in 30 years. I wouldn't be a bit surprised given how everything else is. As bad as everything else has gotten, it wouldn't surprise me a bit to see that happen. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to look to Him. He's our answer. He's our hope. And we're certainly asking God to continue to intervene in our lives. Friend, if you don't know Him as Savior, just keep on reading that book of Revelation. The problem is you won't be among that marriage supper in chapter 19. You're going to be in all these other chapters. You'll be seeing all this firsthand. God help us. Trust Christ as your Savior. Be saved today. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, may your will be accomplished. Lord, may the mind of Christ be ours. And Lord, I pray you'd save the soul that's nearest hell. Maybe there's one that's confused, one that's backslid, one that's not where they need to be. I pray, God, that you would help them, use them, bless them. Lord, would you use the Word of God, is what I meant to say, Lord, to convict them. Lord, and may they come to Christ before it's everlasting too late.